nearly two decades, Tim Fontaine has been a journalist at APTN, CBC, CPAC, and iChannel. A member of the Sag King First Nation in Manitoba, he grew up at the Hollowater First Nation and in Winnipeg, where he now lives. He is the founder and editor and grand chief of Walking Eagle News, which launched on November 20th, less than 2 weeks ago. And now, ironically and satirically, the Walking Eagle is taking off. Tim Fontaine, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Maybe you can explain to our listeners why it's ironic that the Walking Eagle would be taking off.
Well, it's a really corny old joke, and I think people of a certain age get it right away, but it's the punchline is basically that it's a bird that's so full of crap that it can't fly. And it's an old joke that I've heard different variations, and I've also heard different origin stories of it. But I mean, the basic story is that it was a name bestowed on some historical figure, usually a president, an American president. And then when they go and ask the community later, like, hey, what does this name mean? It sounds so awesome. They tell them what it is. And so when I was putting the site together, I was trying to think of something that could sound both quote unquote indigenous and also be a bit of a hint that this isn't to be taken seriously. So I came up with that.
Yeah, and it's also a rich vein. And we'll talk a bit about that. But I found your very first article online, and it was November 20th because I was getting ready to interview George Erasmus. And I just, And I just happened to do a quick Google search, and up comes this brand new news website, right?
Yep.
And the headline is Rookie Chiefs Call for an End to Hazing at Assembly of First Nations. And here's and there's a quote from George Erasmus, which I'll read. This is a tradition that goes back to the earliest days of this organization and how we bond as leaders, said Regional Chief George Erasmus. Besides, this is nothing. Those little shits should have been around when former National Chief Ovid Mercredi used to paddle noobs. Now that was hazing. My first thought was, I'm pretty sure that's not George Erasmus.
that's the thing. I mean, some people, it shocked me how many people fell for it, but it's, and that wasn't my intention. Like, I never meant to deceive people. That's not the point of the site. It's that, it's more making fun of the absurdity of something. But that was one where it was just, I like making fun of leaders, and that's kind of every culture, I think, has a tradition of doing that. And so, with us, I guess it's the Assembly of First Nations. And so I don't think that anything that I'm pointing at them is necessarily mean-spirited. I think a lot of it is just sort of having fun at their expense. And I avoid negative stereotypes when I do that. But in the universe of Walking Eagle News, I guess the image that I've sort of created of the Assembly of First Nations is that they're this high school or college football team. And to me, that strikes me as very funny, because they're not like that at all. But I just think that it just seems funny to imagine them that way.
Well, you must be onto something, because I sent that article right away off to George. I texted it to him, and I saw him the next day, and I took a picture of him reading your website, and he is just nice. Cracking up. I don't, you've seen the photo.
Yeah, no, that was great, because I get asked a lot, like, hey, what is the AFN think of this? And I honestly don't know other than that, right? But I mean, like I said, I mean, it's not mean-spirited, and I'm pretty sure they're all big boys there, and boys and girls there, and I'm pretty sure that they can take a joke. But that was good to hear, because it's meant to be funny. It's not meant to be an attack on anybody.
Yeah, it's great. It's funny stuff. I love it. And I'll just, before we leave George here, who's going to be on the show next week, he told me that he thought whoever was writing these articles, and we started speculating about who it might be, right? I didn't guess you, but I had a few thoughts. And he said he figured it was someone with some inside knowledge of the AFN, and he referred specifically to the article, Trudeau Not My Real Great White Father. And he seems to think that there was actually a Billy Jack reference at a meeting he was at. Maybe even
wow.
That. Yeah. So I don't know.
It makes sense, again, because it's a reference that someone from a certain generation would make, right? Like, I'm in my early 40s, but I grew up with that sort of thing. And and I also, because I'm a Fontaine, I mean, if you don't know who I'm related to, I mean, I grew up around politicians, and my family watched politicians like other families watch hockey. So I use a lot of that sort of inside
So Phil's not giving
inside
you
baseball. No. I use some of that inside baseball to add to it, right? And give it that sort of air of, I guess, credibility.
Well, you have a long background as a journalist, and it shows, because you'd kind of have to be a journalist and even an indigenous journalist to pull this off. It's kind of everything you're saying is true. It's funny. It's not mean or anything, and it's just meant to be fun. But there's a little bit of truth in a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, most of them have some basis of truth to them. Like even the one about presenting this Fionn Cree guide to the royal couple as a gift. Like there's a history, there's a tragic history of that, of people being sent overseas, but there is something there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of it was stuff, me sort of riffing on things that I had seen in either my career as a journalist or just in my interest in history, and just thinking that's so bizarre and that's so absurd. And if you bring them into modern times, they become even more absurd, right? And so I get a kick out of that one. I think that's why Monty Python was so successful. I'm not comparing myself to Monty Python, but the things that I find funny are Monty Python and The Onion and The Beaverton, that do sort of deadpan takes on really absurd things.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what your favorites were.
Yeah, in terms of like fake news, I mean, I used to love, there were so few indigenous purveyors of satire. I mean, there used to be this email. This was before social media. There used to be this thing called Moose Boy, which was nobody, and still, I don't think anybody still knows who it was, but it was similar in vein to like Frank Magazine, the old Frank Magazine.
Oh, yeah.
And they would do these really scathing, fake, scandalous emails about all of these different indigenous politicians. And it was funny, and it was a little more mean-spirited. But I mean, there was that. There was the Dead Dog Cafe on CBC, but there really wasn't that much, right? We had indigenous comics, but nothing along this vein. So there was very little to look at for inspiration beyond that. And then, so I had to look at like This Hour Has 22 Minutes and The Onion and The Beaverton, which are like, The Onion is really it's the pinnacle of satirical news, I think. And so I drew a lot on that because I find it genuinely funny.
You know, I have a similar background, and I've done a lot of writing and journalism and stuff like that. And I've started a couple of these jokey or satire humorous websites over the years, and a few years back I got this idea to pitch a TV show, and it was about a bunch of Native people running something called Native Land Incorporated. But, you know, just kind of the craziest concept I could come up with. And yeah. Nothing I've done really took off. I mean, I'm guessing you started this thinking, oh, this will be fun, I'll blow off some steam or have some fun. Did you expect it to take off?
No, not at all. Because I thought a couple of friends of mine might see it, and maybe a few people might see it and they think it's funny and whatever. And it's me. I was actually, because I want to do more creative writing because I've done news for so long. And so I had read Stephen King's book on writing.
Oh, that's a great one.
Yeah. And he tells you, like, you have to write, right? If you want to be a writer, you have to write. And it makes so much sense. So I thought, okay, well, no matter what, I'm going to force myself to write. And so what came out, because that's all I've done for so many years, is news stories. So I just started kind of combining that with humor. And then I thought, you know what, there's got to be a home for this somewhere. And so I just put the site together. I don't know why it took off more than, because I've seen, like I said, I mean, other people have done it. I don't know why it took off, but I am surprised, pleasantly surprised and really happy by it. And glad that people see that it's not an attack, and we're, you know, indigenous people aren't the punchline. It's just funny, a funny look at this absurd world that we live in.
I think there's a couple of reasons that seem pretty obvious to me why it's gone this direction. And one is social media is such a huge thing for indigenous people now.
Yeah.
It's like our moccasin telegraph, and things get out there and they spread really quickly.
Yeah, I think it probably never would have taken off had it not been for Facebook and Twitter. I mean, initially, there's a convention in media that Facebook drives more traffic than Twitter, and it's true. But in my case, when I was first starting out, for whatever reason, my first big push of traffic was from Twitter. And it's probably because I have a fairly big Twitter following of my own, and I retweeted one of my first stories before I even put my name on it. that it kind of started spreading that way, and everybody started, you know, who is this? Who is that? And yeah, but you're right. I mean, social media is the number one cause, I think, for why this took off, because nobody would have seen it if I hadn't done it. If I hadn't put it on social media.
Yeah. Now, I know who you are. I've heard of you. I know lots of journalists. I know APTN people. Jorge Barrera was on the show not too long ago. So your name was familiar to me. But tell folks a bit about your journalism and your journalist years. And have you kind of taken a hiatus from that, or are you going to keep doing that?
Sort of. Like, I don't want to be a daily news hack anymore. So I started, I started off writing for like community newspapers in Saskatchewan, probably in 1999. And by 2001, I got my big break at APTN, and I came to be a writer for a show called Contact. It was a current affairs show. And I'm still friends with a lot of people that were part of that crew, but that sparked it. And I never intended to be a journalist. I wanted to be a cameraman at first, and I also wanted to do more like artsy performance stuff. But that all got thrown aside because it became the longest career I've ever had was journalism, and it's what I've done. I've worked for, you know, like you said, CBC, and there was a company called iChannel in Toronto that's now folded, but I did documentaries for them. So I've done a lot of, and then more recently I became the lead reporter for CBC Indigenous, and that was a job I had until August of this year when I just had enough and decided to leave and go and do something else, because journalism is a heavy game. You know that, and a lot of your listeners probably know that. Like, it's not an easy thing to do, and when you live in that for so many years, it can really weigh on you. And so I decided to take a break and try to do other things. So it's not really on hiatus, because I am actually doing some documentaries for APTN now, but I don't consider that news. Like, that's more like long-form storytelling. So that's where I'm at. And then I'm moving more into humor full time now, faster. It's a more accelerated process than I thought, because I'm working on a comedy show for APTN now.
Well, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But, you know, when I was shopping around this script I had, a lot of people said, oh, it's so, you know, it's so great to come across something that's humorous, because it's just like you're saying, so much of what we're talking about and what we're dealing with all the time is heavy. It's really takes a toll. It's not uplifting stuff. Well, you know what's going on out there. And so there's definitely a need or a hunger for that. And of course, you know, we talk about native humor and how important that is, and how there's a particular kind of humor, almost like a gallows humor sometimes among native people. So I think, I'm guessing you could really have a lot of success with this, however you define that.
But, I hope so,
But you're 2 weeks in, you're doing this alone.
it's crazy, I've got one friend that has done it'll soon be three stories. But yeah, for the most part, it's just been me.
Yeah, so after a month, 2 months, 6 months, you might find this to be just another heavy, oh gosh, I got to be funny again today.
I mean, and that was the thing, because I didn't have a plan for this other than that I wanted to do it, and I wanted to have an outlet for this comedy that I always wanted to do. So I don't really know where it's going to go. And I've had people approach me and say they want to write for it. And I think at some point, when I start having enough of this, then maybe I will do that and just say, okay, now it's going to be, you know, we'll open it up to submissions. But I think that that I'm going to do it as long as I can. And I don't want it to be a burden. I hope it never becomes a burden, but it might. You never know. So I've had a lot of people ask me that too already. Like, you know, you're going and going and going and going. And when, like, slow down, you know what I mean? Like, give it some time. But we'll see. I don't know. I mean, I might still have in me for a long time yet. I hope so.
So you got a target you're putting out? It looks like some days you got two, three pieces, maybe some days one, some days.
Yeah. No, there was never a target. But like this morning I got up and I was like, I had to go to work, and I just banged something out because, not because I had to, but again, it's going back to that Stephen King discipline of writing, right? If you don't make the time to write every day, you're never going to get better at it. And so I'm kind of, some days I'm forcing myself, and other days the joke hits me, you know, whenever. And because I can write them so quickly, it's great, because it's not like real journalism where I have to make sure I get all the names right and the quotes right and all of the sort of thing. Like, I'm just making it up. So I, you know, I've written them literally in the line, waiting in line at the grocery store. I've written them and posted them. So it's not, I'm never going to win a Pulitzer for this. So I might as well just have some fun and bang them out. Why not?
You're doing a ton of media right now too, aren't you? You've been on a bunch of radio, TV.
I feel like I'm doing more media than actually writing stories lately. Cause I've been on CBC. I don't know how many times I've done some stuff. Some students from Ryerson called, and then I did like local city TV, and then the Canadian Press was the one that started it all. And they're the ones like that went all over, like a bunch of newspapers picked it up, and people are starting to recognize me that may not have knew who I was before, which is a bit weird. But because I've been known as a journalist for so long, to suddenly be recognized for humor is really bizarre.
Well, you know what you need? You need a really sharp Photoshop person.
That's exactly what I want. Because you know what? There's some things. You said, like, if I get burnt out or whatever, I would love to be able to just do like what The Onion does, which is news and photos, and just do a headline and an image, and because that, to me, that's hilarious too. I mean, there's a couple of stories that I want to do that are just so based in visual that that they'd be hard to do without somebody doing Photoshop. So that if I am going to bring other people on, it's probably going to be that first before I bring on other writers.
The Round Table, WayneKSpear.com.
This isn't to promote myself, although I am going to pitch to you in a minute. When I was working, I worked at the Aboriginal Healing Foundation. I've never told this story on air, but I worked at the Aboriginal Healing Foundation. And we had a retreat in like 2001, a staff retreat. And the one takeaway from the staff retreat was we need an internal newsletter so we all know what one another are doing and we could share information between departments, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I was the communications guy. I ran the communications shop. So my job was to put together the newsletter every week. And what would happen is it would be Friday and people were supposed to send me their department news. What are you up to? What's going on? So the first week, I get a bunch of stuff. I put together the newsletter, send it out. It's great. Second week, I get a little bit less, but people send in their news. Third week, nothing, you know, because now people are thinking, oh God, this is just another job I have to do. So I'm supposed to put out an internal staff newsletter, and I have nothing. So I thought, well, you know, screw this. I'm just not going to bother. But then I thought, you know what? I'm going to make a point here. So I went and copied and pasted 4 pages of Cicero's Tusculan Disputations in the original Latin, and I sent that out. And then the next issue, same thing. Nobody, you know, people got the point, but they wouldn't send me anything. So eventually what happened is I started doing like an Walking Eagle News. I just made stuff up.
Nice.
And Photoshopped staff people. And and I did that for like 10 years. I just put out these jokey.
Beautiful.
And people loved them. I still got them. People still ask me, you got those around?
Somebody had sent me on Twitter screenshots of some newsletter that they did the exact same thing where it was like staff newsletter or like an organization's newsletter, and it was just all fake news.
Yeah.
It was pretty good stuff in there too. Yeah. So there is, there is a tradition of this. I just wish there was more of it. Like it'd be nice to actually see some competition and see somebody with, cause there's parts of the country that I'm not touching on in the Walking Eagle. Of course, it's only not even 2 weeks old, but I mean, it'd be nice to see more because I think it's funny. I love this stuff.
You need a foreign correspondent.
Yeah, that's exactly. You get some American stuff that's happening, like the 1491s in the States. I mean, that's funny stuff, right? So
yeah,
but it'd be nice to see more formalized something. I don't know what.
So I took about half an hour and I just brainstormed. I got some headlines for you here. You can
okay.
I don't know if any of these are any good. This was just sort of rough draft. Okay. So here we go. Yep. You can have these. Okay, here's the first one. Oh God, not the Kelowna story again, sighs exasperated grandson of Paul Martin. According to cab driver, area native man doesn't look on reserve non-status. Okay.
Good.
Here's the third headline. Far from the hallowed chambers of power and influence, Indigenous grassroots activist Jody Wilson-Raybould dreams of one day having an Indigenous Supreme Court justice.
Oh, that one's almost close to the truth.
Yeah. Some of these are kind of obscure, like this one. Clarence Louis starts progressive rock band. I don't know. Trudeau to split the Indian Act into the Ministry of Status Cards and a new bingo hall.
Nice.
This one, I don't know. I don't know if I like this one, but here, I got this thing about powwow garbage, so I've been trying to work into it. Mother Earth comes home yet again to find kids have left without picking up their powwow trash.
Oh, see, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I like that.
Okay. This one nobody's going to get, but I like it. Del Riley tells reporters he always knew his negotiations with Canada over Jordan's principle would pay off.
Oh, see that one.
Is that too mean?
I'm grappling with what I can and can't include. And I've already made a decision that MMIW was off limits, but that one I don't know, because that whole decision came down and I'm like, there's got to be something in here. But at the same time, you got to be so careful with that, eh? So.
Yeah, no, but I'll explain why people are going to be wondering about this. Okay, so I interviewed Del, and I really like Del. I interviewed Del Riley. He's a great guy. He's still going strong. Former AFN chief.
Yeah.
And he told me all this stuff about Section 35 and the Constitution. So I know all the former chiefs, living ones. Yeah. And I've talked to them, and they have told me that the stuff Del told me that he was doing was just, no, that didn't happen. So I don't know.
I've always wanted to work Delbert Riley into one of these stories. So
yeah,
it's going to happen eventually.
He's a character. Okay, so this one's kind of mean, but I think well deserved. First Nation woman claims 64-year-old Steve Bannon bears miraculous image of Indian taco. So I was kind of playing on the Virgin Mary grilled cheese thing there.
Oh, that is, yes. That one is brilliant. I like that one.
Comic inversion there.
Yeah.
This one's kind of gentle, but it's I like it. The Honorable Carolyn Bennett struggles to decide which scarf goes with her announcement of a new solid waste facility.
I wanted to do something about the scarves because a couple of people, before I launched the site, a couple of people had tweeted at me about her. Apparently she's got this like Imelda Marcos-esque scarf collection. And I hadn't noticed it until they said it. And I was like, yeah, that's right. She has like every single indigenous scarf ever made. When she leaves politics, she should donate them to a museum or something. Because this hall of scarves. It's crazy. That's a good one.
Yeah. So that's what I got there for you.
Beautiful. Yeah. Very natural.
So tell me about this APTN show. When's it start? What's it about?
It's going to be launching in January, which is fairly quick. And it was an existing show that APTN had called The Laughing Drum. And it was like a panel of comedians talking about otherwise serious subjects, which can be funny. I worked on another show before that was very similar. But it's... But I want to take it and translate more of what I've been doing with Walking Eagle to this show. And so the part of the show might be a form of satirical news. And we've sort of done some playing around in the studio now with it and playing up that news feel, right? And
yeah.
So they've got this amazing set at APTN. So to be able to use that for the show, I think it's going to be, I think some of the humor from the site might translate into TV news quite well. So I'm going to be the host, and I'm going to be this more blustering new indigenous news anchor character. So it's more in the vein of Daily Show. And then we'll still probably use some of the comics as a panel, but you know, we're still playing around with the format. We've got to come up with something fairly quick. So,
yes,
we'll see how it goes. And I mean, it's exciting though, because at first they had actually asked me before I launched Walking Eagle to do it. And I was like, well, I don't want to be a reporter, but I don't know if I want to go that far. But after I launched the site and then they found out, it made even more sense to do it. And I'm like, yeah, and now I'm actually really excited about it.
You got any other people involved in this that we might know of or that you can talk about?
No, not right now. I mean, it's basically we're still tinkering with the format. And so there's very little I can tell you about it now other than the name, which is Laughing Drum. So and that name might eventually change if I can get through the season and people actually like it. But because I want to, you know, it'd be nice to have something that I feel more ownership over. Not that I don't do this, but it was an existing show, and so I'm adopting something and tinkering with it and making it into my own image.
And there's no real firm date about when we might look for that?
It's the end of January. I can't remember the exact date right now.
Oh gosh, that's soon.
It's coming up. It's coming up very soon.
You're not going to have a holiday.
And because it's crazy, and I'm still working on this this documentary series that I'm already working on. So I've got and maintaining the site, so I've got a lot of work ahead of me.
And you've got another gig, you say, and you were working on something else?
Yeah, I'm working on a series of documentaries for APPN. We're going to be doing like 4 this year. And they're serious documentaries, so I'm going to draw on my skills as a journalist for that. And I'm working with an old friend and colleague of mine, Rick Harp. And him and I worked together for years, so this is us getting back together. We're bringing back the band, and we're going to work on this series. And it's basically, because APTN has this incredible archive of news footage and news stories, and we're going to take some of those bigger themes in there and turn them into full-length documentaries that tell a larger story about whatever it is. And the first one we're going to be doing is on Idle No More, just because it makes more sense and we have so much footage of it, and it'd be nice to use some of it. And we know so much more about what happened during that, because it was such an incredible and yet brief period of time, like really 2 months of pure blockades and protests and round dances and stuff like that. It was quite an incredible time, or 3 months. And so much happened in that time. So we want to kind of look at that and deem like, it's kind of like our summer of love, right? I mean, there was so much that happened.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the first one we're going to do, yeah.
And of course, I know Rick Harp. He's somebody from back in the day. And he has a podcast, great podcast, Media Indigena.
Yeah, Media Indigena, yeah, which I've seen grow from his blog to what it is now. So he's a real workhorse, the guy. So I'm struggling to keep up with him, but he's a good guy.
So I'm going to ask you how old you are. I'm trying to place you here. You must be
42.
42?
Yeah.
Ah, that's pretty young.
I'm both young and old at the same time, but just probably because of my journalism career, but also just because of how I grew up and the people I was around. I was really fortunate to get a sense of our community quite young, and it was always an interest of mine, right? Politics and history and all these things. So, but I'm a lot grayer. I think that runs in the family. So I'm a lot grayer than I look. Yeah.
You grew up in Hollow Water and then partly in Winnipeg.
Yeah, Hollow Water and then Winnipeg. And then I traveled around quite a bit as a journalist. So I left, I've left Winnipeg and gone and done other things over the years. But the last time I left for any long period of time, I left in 2009 with my partner. We went to Ottawa, and that's when I worked for CPAC and APTN. And then we traveled around quite a bit after that. We were in Halifax, we were in Toronto, Whitehorse, back in Winnipeg for a little while. And now we're finally back in Winnipeg. So, and I love it. This is one of my hometowns. And so, I love being back, and then I love coming back to APTN, which is something that always surprised me. So I feel like I've come all the way back, but it's great. So it's great to be back at APTN and back in Winnipeg.
Yeah, geez, and it's a great time to be at APTN. You know, it's funny because you look around at news outlets and they're all shrinking and letting people go, and yeah. APTN is growing.
Yeah, and in many ways, it's the old-fashioned newsroom. I mean, obviously, we've got all of the top technology and all these things, but I mean, so many newsrooms are losing their technical people, and we have technical people, and we have camera operators, and we have editors, and we have all of these things, and a full studio crew and all of these things, and yeah, hiring reporters and stuff. And I guess that speaks to the appetite there is for Indigenous news, which I hope is going to continue, but they're doing really good work here, and I'm proud to have played an early role with them, and then to be back now and try out this something that's completely different.
So lots going on there, but yeah, find yourself a good Photoshop guy. Let's put out a call right now.
I'm not ready yet, though. That's the thing. It's because I want to set the tone first before I start bringing other people on, and just knowing where the boundaries are and stuff like that, and. Maybe it might mean coming up with some sort of a style guide or something, which is crazy because it's a hobby site, right? But
yeah,
that's kind of where I want to get though before I start adding other people to it. But there is definitely a need for that.
I mean, you know, if you plan it out right, you could be making a living doing that. You could be, you know.
I don't know how many people tell me that. And I've had actually people that, you know, here, take my money, like that sort of thing. Because I've had a publisher approach me already and say they're interested in doing a book version of it. That was when we were like seven stories in. And then I've had people say you need a Patreon or some kind of a tip jar feature so that people can support it. And I hadn't even thought that much ahead, but you know, who knows? Might make sense. I could be wearing gold click cans around my neck.
You could get one of those sweet honey buckets.
Yes, real state of the art ones with Bluetooth and.
Yeah. I'm not going to ask you for details, but do you have any sense of how much traffic you're getting and who's reading it and where and all that stuff?
Yeah, it's a lot of mostly Canadians, of course, because it is sort of tailored to Canadians. Like, there's, if you don't know what the political landscape is here, you're probably not going to get what it is. But yeah, it's mostly Canadians, although probably 110,000 reads or something like that.
Wow.
Which is not
in a week.
When I was a journalist, I had better, but it's rising. That's the thing, right? So
yeah,
every day the numbers go up because more and more people are learning about it and sharing it and being very generous about telling other people, oh, you all got to check this out, right? Like, and as far away as the US and stuff, people saying, yeah, you got to check this out. You got to check this out. So I've been really blessed to have support from the community and buy-in, I think. But that was why I decided to put my name on it too, because I think it needed buy-in, because people were telling me, you know, there is a history of people that aren't from our community making fun of us and doing it sort of anonymously. And I thought, yeah, you're right. So I just decided to come out and say, you know, this is me. I'm the guy behind Walking Eagle. And I think it's helped. I think that's made it a bit more trustworthy, I think.
Boy, that's really interesting you say that, because when it first, for a while, yeah, there was no name on it. It never would have occurred to me to think this was a non-Indigenous person or somebody.
I never thought so too, because I thought it was too obviously Indigenous. But I mean, there are people out there, I guess. But I just thought, you know what? Like, let's not even give people that chance to think that it is. And also, you know what? I was proud of it. Like, I thought, this is funny. I thought, and I'm doing some pretty good writing here. It's not, like I said, I'm never going to win a Pulitzer for this, but I like what I'm doing. So why not own up to it? And it is me following a very old dream I had that I wanted to get into humor. So, yeah.
I love this one I'm looking at here. Author Joseph Boyden, appointed to Canada's top court.
Another one that I still get people texting me and saying, you know, this isn't true. You're lying.
Yeah.
So I guess I know I am. And I'm not sure when I'm going to start telling people, because right now what's happening is that people are at least telling them now, it's satirical. This is a joke. Don't take it seriously. Right. Because initially I was thinking I would respond from the Walking Eagle site and say, you know, it's satire, but I think, no, why not? Like, I'll let it ride for a while. I'm not purposely deceiving anybody in a mean way anyways. I mean, if people are outraged by it, that's funny for a second, and I'll just let that go.
Yeah. What I love about this, though, is, you know, I love The Onion as well, but they tend to go on too long. The articles just kind of, there's not enough there to sustain them.
And I'm lazy too. So it works out in my favor.
They're just the right length, and sometimes you save the funniest bit for last, or what I think is the funniest bit for last. And in this one, that's the case for sure. It says, Boyden came under fire earlier this year for alleged inaccuracies in his long-awaited autobiography, The Reason I Walk, which chronicles his life as a charismatic First Nations broadcaster, musician, and activist. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
I do explain that to some people.
And I've had people email me, not email me, but tweet at me saying, that's Bob Canoe's book.
Yeah, they didn't get it.
They didn't get that this was satire, and it's still happening. I mean, even one about, I wrote one about two floor walkers, two store floor walkers in Saskatchewan who misidentified each other and followed each other around for so long that they finally collapsed from exhaustion. and people thought it was real. People were like, oh, you know. How did they not know and miss a man, honestly? it's crazy. But again, that's not what I'm aiming for. But it is funny that people, this world is so crazy that something like that comes across as plausible.
Well, eventually people will, you will be so famous that people will know exactly what you're up to.
So that would be crazy, but it would be fun.
So you got any more media stuff coming up?
I'm doing another CBC thing this coming week, CBC on Reserve, which is a show that I've contributed to before. So I'll be sitting down with Rosanna Beerchild and doing some kind of interview with them. And that's about it. And I think another podcast whose name escapes me at the moment, I'll be doing something on that. But it's probably going to slow down eventually once people get a sense of it.
Yeah, before you go on CBC, make sure you got the mugs and the hats and the t-shirts and all that, the merch. Do the powwow circuit, got to do that.
Oh yeah, I'd love to do that. And some walking eagle t-shirts.
Yeah, why not? The sky's the limit.
Yeah, you never know. It's a crazy line of some kind of crappy products, I don't know.
Hey.
Maybe honey buckets, I don't know. Walking eagle honey bucket. Available at fine stores anywhere.
Exactly. Well, Tim, it was great talking to you, and I'm glad you gave me the time to do this. Everybody, go and check out walkingeaglenews.com for all the latest stuff, and I look forward to it really taking off or continuing to take off and growing. And
thank you.
Thanks a lot.